messenger type thing. And Ron, I not so much. Ron, I suspect, he's still around, but I don't know specifics. He still has a call sign and stuff, but I know that he did move from his old place in where he used to live.
Okay. All right. Well, times change, things change, I changed. You know, I'm in a different location as well, but it's good to hear a voice from back in the day.
Great stuff, and I regret getting rid of the X90. You know, Kenwood rigs are nice, old or new. Right now I'm talking to you on a Yaesu FTM-510. I don't know if you're familiar with those. It does C4FM and stuff, and Dave has a C4FM radio too, the 300, or the 200, I believe. But, yeah, it works nice. I love it. I did some research and couldn't understand DMR, so I go, System Fusion's great. And I also, for 220, just have an IC-03AT. A vintage HT.
Well, believe it or not, I'm talking to you on a radio that I had and I talked to you on back then. It took a little bit of a resurrection, but I got it back up and running, and I'm happy with it. It's the ancient TM-742A, and does the job. Although I am searching for an all-band VHF radio right now. I got one in mind, but they seem to be hard to come by. Might have to break down and actually buy something new.
Yeah, not bad. What was the difference between the 741 and the 742A, or just the 742?
Very little. Identical in dimensions and size. The band units were interchangeable. There's absolutely no difference between the band units between the 741 and 742. It's basically the front face that's different. The layout's slightly different on between the 741 and 742. And the 742 has a two-piece front remote mountable faceplate that you can actually break it down into actually two pieces, so you can have your display in one area and the controls in another area, where the 741, the faceplate, was a singular unit. I don't know anybody that's ever taken advantage of splitting the controls and the display on the 742.
Oh, okay, good stuff. Good stuff. I believe Dave or Ron have one, or Dave has one or two of those radios. And the caps go out and the display is just blank? I believe, I'm not sure.
Yeah, I had a 741 in my car. And then, of course, the car got stolen and there goes the radio. So insurance-wise, I replaced it with a 742 because that was what the current model was. And that's what I'm talking on now. But both Dave and Ron had 741s. And they had them set up on crossband, both on opposite frequency crossbands. One was input, one was output, and that's how they ran their Tawasson repeater.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah, and it worked great for many years. It was great. I used to get in from Vancouver.
Yeah, you know what? They were both pretty, you know, they both didn't have a lot of altitude. They were almost sea level, plus whatever their mast length was. But there's something about that piece, that part of the lower mainland, that it just gets great coverage. And when they had that, and I'll call it a pirate repeater because it wasn't officially recognized and it wasn't on exactly the proper frequencies, but it worked well. I could do the same thing here, you know, because I have another Kenwood that does crossband, and I have a 732 that also does that. But I'm not going to. What I'm thinking about doing, though, is setting up a crossband off of 220 so I can get use my handheld locally as my feed into this repeater.
Yeah, that makes sense. I believe, I recall, Dave could get into his repeater from Chilliwack. That's kind of weird what it was and the location, but he said Chilliwack.
Oh, I have no doubt. I have no doubt at all. Because they have Boundary Bay right there. So yeah, that nice clean shot across the water. It made it really reach out to the east and to the southeast really well. As far as going out to the west, it was okay. But, you know, to the north was good. To the east was spectacular. To the southeast was spectacular. I never tried to connect with them off out of the Gulf Islands, but I suspect they were probably pretty good out of there as well. But, it's amazing, you know, I've bumped into being off the radio for 15 years and now coming back, how many people I've bumped into that either were back in that day or further back in the 11-meter days.
Yeah, no, that's a good thing about, good thing about ham radio, even local stuff. You mean we all go our different ways, different roads. Life leads us down different paths, and guess what? Sometimes we meet up again. Yeah, there was quite a few individuals, and some of them have passed on to the big blue yonder up above, and some of them are still around.
Well, I'm glad you didn't change your call, because I heard it, like I said, I heard it earlier today. I didn't have a chance to jump in, but I heard it earlier today, and I went, oh my God, I know that guy. So, you know, whereas I generally, you know, there's probably a few people out there that might recognize me if I was using my old call, my other call. It's definitely a case of what goes around comes around. I didn't mean to leave you out in the toolies there. You know, you feel free to jump in at any time.
No. I'm just on the side doing other things, so keeping myself occupied.
So, Harry, correct me if I'm wrong, you had a 6-meter repeater for a while, did you not?
In the beginning, yes. Yeah, 152.890. And I had a 6-meter vertical, like an actual antenna from Comet. What is it, a CA64 dB or a 62 dB? Really nice antenna. Yeah. And it was, I actually had it up on Anvil Island with my friend V7LWB. And then life dealt him a blow, so he lost the island. But it was good. It was out on Anvil Island.
Yeah, when I fired up my TS-60S, it was still programmed in there. So I tried to connect, and I didn't get anything, so I figured it was done.
That was pretty sweet, actually. Pretty sweet. Lloyd B7LWB had done the cans for it, and it was nice. Yeah, it was really nice. But I still got the pair. But I mean, I'd love to put something up on again. Just location, location, location.
Well, if you ever feel so inclined, I have a piece of property. I got a structure. I'd be not opposed to throwing up a throwing up a repeater antenna here.
Okay, I'll have that in mind. What kind of HF radio do you use?
Primarily, I use a TS-50S, that small, portable, sort of portable Kenwood thing with the matching antenna tuner. I just had it rebuilt. It's running beautifully. I love this radio. But I also have the old TS-430S, if you remember that. That was kind of in the family of the 690, but a couple of generations before. I've got that as well. It could use a little tune-up. But I prefer the 50, TS-50. It's ridiculously easy to use. It is. I have never seen a radio that has the kind of ears it has. It just pulls signals out like mad. And it doesn't take up any space on the bench.
Yeah, good stuff. I have an ST-891 Yaesu, but I also have ICOM 751 Alpha, a vintage, 1990s, and it's great. I actually have two of them, a 751 and a 751 Alpha. But, yeah, I like the 891. It's basic, nice, like mobile HF rig, and it works great.
Victor Echo 7, you from Julie Mike, but I want to know about that new TID radio. How's it going?
Morning, Johnny. Which radio do you want to know about?
He's got the new TID radio, the portable H9 or N9 or what is it?
Yeah, it's the H9 handheld. It's V7HCP here. Harry, the name Harry here, and I got it yesterday. I'm just trying to program it with Chirp and also OD Master, which is the Android app on the phone. Again, with these radios, a lot of firmware, little bugs I've been encountering. But when I use Chirp, I actually use the H3 settings. It accepts it and everything. And I saved it using Chirp, and it works fine. It's not a bad radio. Tri-bander, 2 meters, 1.25 meters, I guess, and 70 centimeters. And it works great for what it is.
Yeah, here you, John. Johnny here, Victor Echo 7, uniform, Julie Mike. Yeah, I ordered that quite some time ago, and straight from TID Radio, and they're like, "Oh, well, you also ordered the H3, and the 9 is taking time, so we held back your order." And I'm like, "Well, when are you gonna send it out?" Well, the factory, blah 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 blah. So I'm still waiting. So you're lucky. You must have got the batch. It's kind of like they're hot off the press. It sounds like, because I ordered straight from TID Radio. And, yeah, still waiting for mine, so it's good to hear. I'm excited about that little handheld. Well, I'm excited every month for new handhelds. Sorry to interrupt. I just was curious about how it was going on the radio there, guys. I'll stand down and listen in the background. 7-3, thanks.
No, you're very welcome, John. I ordered mine November 3rd, believe it or not. And then they screwed up the order. I sent him an email because I ordered the pack where I ordered the Bluetooth microphone, and I ordered the version that comes with the 3 antennas, drop-in charger. I just got the radio, the USB adapter, plug, charger, missing the drop-in charger. Yeah, it's crazy. If you're on the Facebook groups, there's a lot of people that are discovering a lot of bugs. But just like the H3, that H3 is really nice if you do not use the TID radio firmware. I've been in this, what is it, Discord group, the Nick software, that little radio is crazy what the guy did with the aftermarket firmware. It's insane. I picked that radio up for under $50 Canadian, but the firmware for the H3, not the H3 Plus, is crazy. The aftermarket. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's it's so tiny. It does everything. I like the interface with the yeah, you can program it through.